Hey everyone, it's Dr. G from Irreplaceable Truths. We have an excellent episode with Mentor Vet, but within this episode, we discuss suicide and mental health. If you have any issues or are struggling in any way, please dial 988. We are behind you, we are here with you, and we need you in this profession. I don't even know where to begin. Owning a practice in California is a nightmare. Yeah, there's so many. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Irreplaceable Truths, where we sit down and we talk to you about all the fun things veterinary medicine and how those of us who have done it for a while have gotten through it and actually still are very in love with the profession. I'm very excited today. I've been dying to get someone from Mentor Vet on the show, and I do today. Mentor Vet's been making waves in the veterinary mentorship role, which has been severely lacking, in my opinion, in the profession. Yes, there's been some, you know, kind of, you know, the older vets helping the younger vets, but there hasn't been a professional service to really get it right, and they are. I'd like to welcome Muriel Hendricks today from Mentor Vet.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And we were just talking that there's a little dachshund wrapped up in that blue blanket behind her sleeping because it's 15 degrees. Where are we talking to you from today?
Yes, I'm from Indianapolis. So the Midwest is getting hit hard this week by ice and snow.
Yes, the polar vortex, I believe it's called.
Yes, and I do believe we're getting another wave here soon, so it's not over with.
Oof, I don't know how you guys do that.
Yeah, how's California today?
Yeah, California is going. The smoke is gone, but it's still California. Sure. You know, it's always you never know what you're going to get in California. Between traffic and taxes, that's a given. But other than that, you can't really say. So I would love to talk to you first about Mentor Vet. It was started by Dr. Addy back in 2021, I believe. What made her do this? Because she went and got her master's. She's done a few empirical papers about the importance of veterinary mentorship. What drove her to start this corporation?
Yeah, so after Addie graduated from veterinary school, she worked in small animal practice for about 4 years. And within that 4 year period, she got incredibly burnt out to the point where she left veterinary medicine and went back to school and got her master's degree. And from that master's degree, with many master's degrees, comes capstone projects. So that is where Mentor Vet, the idea of Mentor Vet was birthed from, was her own experiences with burnout, leaving the profession, gaining more experience within leadership and mentoring in general, and then birthing Mentor Vet out of a really, really great idea about, like you had said, a more organized, a more professional mentor-mentee platform. So that's where it first started, because she also won a startup competition at VMX. The Mentor Vet name blew up after that, and that's kind of where it became a more national name rather than a small company.
And as we were talking about before, you know, there's always been this informal mentorship relationship between the older vets and the younger vets. What is Mentor Vet doing to fill that gap?
Absolutely. So you're correct. The more traditional mentor-mentee relationship within veterinary medicine in the past has been older veterinarians taking younger vets that have entered their company underneath their wing, and fingers crossed, it's a good match. Mentor Vet has stepped in with a more formal training and educational process where mentors and mentees can get a lot of education surrounding soft skills that aren't taught in veterinary school. And that is where a lot of it is lacking within the current mentorship structures within veterinary medicine. Within veterinary schools, individuals are so focused on the clinical side of veterinary medicine when there is just as much of a human side to our profession as well. So having those clinical skills, obviously as a veterinarian, is imperative, but also having those softer skills, those people skills, is also just as imperative to thrive within our profession. And so that's where a mentor of vet comes in. We have a lot of research underneath our belts that show what younger graduates are wanting to learn more about as far as soft skills are concerned. And that's where our education comes in, provides that to them, as well as providing a mentor that has that same soft skill training.
So as everyone knows, soft skills, you basically, as she said, are the non-technical skills that really aren't addressed in the veterinary education. And I always tell my informal mentees that I've had that you learn that with time. What does success look like at MentorVet to you all? Does it look like you sped up the process, you introduced it to them or sooner, they learn the realities quicker of the profession?
Success to us is trying to gain research that shows that burnout has decreased within our profession through our educational processes. MentorVet is incredibly research-based. We collect data before and after participants go through our programming. So that's our success, is trying to decrease the amount of burnout. So by providing that soft skills education, providing those mentees the ability to learn more about boundary setting and working through conflict within the profession or within their clinic, providing these soft skills that again lead to less burnout and keeping individuals in their profession longer. And we've been very lucky at MentorVet to be able to provide that research that shows our programming works and is successful.
So when you say data, the nerd in me comes out because obviously I'm finishing my dissertation. So what surveys are you using? Are you looking at a mentoring type scale? Are you looking at an emotional intelligence type scale? Are you looking at an emotion demands type scale? What are you looking at specifically?
So we're collecting both qualitative and quantitative data within our surveys. Our surveys are provided to mentees before they start the program, halfway through the programming, and then at the end of the programming. So we're collecting both qualitative and quantitative data surrounding their feelings and tools surrounding soft skills when it comes to burnout in general.
What any preliminary results you're seeing in the last 3 years?
Yeah, we've already published results for our young veterinarian programming, and we are collecting data on our mid-level, which is mid-career veterinarians, and we're also collecting data on our veterinary technician programming as well. So within the 4 years, we've gained a lot of data. It's just the fact that we're trying to process all of that data and then provide research that will be helpful to the profession as a whole, which takes time. So we are very fortunate to have at least provided some young graduate data that shows MentorVet programming does decrease burnout. And then again, we'll be providing mid-career veterinary data as well as technician data once we can get around to typing all of that out.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of statistics that go into that. So just so the listeners know, when we talk about burnout, there's three parts to burnout. There's emotional exhaustion, there's lack of self-worth, and there's depolarization, which means you basically, you remove yourself from interacting with clients, staff, friends, family. You kind of go into a cave. A lot of a lot of researchers just look at the emotional exhaustion piece, but there's actually three parts to it. Based on your work with veterinarians in the field, what are the biggest things that might be causing any of those three pieces that you've heard so far?
From a technician perspective.
Yes, I want you to talk from your professional.
Professional.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since I'm a technician by trade, and also because I work mostly within the Mentor Vet program within Mentor Vet, I can definitely speak to the struggles that young veterinary technician graduates are facing and what is leading to the burnout. And there's three main causes for technicians to lead to burnout, which ultimately means that they're leaving the profession. And one is that we're overworked, especially during COVID times. That was really tough for all of us as veterinary professionals. And the technicians were obviously included within that as well. So being overworked, pairing with being underpaid. So technicians for a long time have voiced their frustrations with compensation within the nursing realm of the veterinary profession. And thirdly, a lot of issues surrounding burnout and technicians leaving the field is underutilization. So we're giving individuals the soft skills, the communications tools to say, hey, I would love to do more around here. How can we discuss that more? So those are three major things that are not only found through data via NAFTA, the National Technician Association, but also through MentorVet, our conversations that we've had with technicians the last 2 years of our programming have paralleled what the NAFTA surveys, the demographic surveys, have come out with.
Yeah, so overworked obviously is the emotional exhaustion piece, and the underpaid and underutilized is the lack of self-worth piece. And so I'm pretty sure when you see these technicians, they also really are not really communicating as much as when they first started anymore.
I think that's a generational thing as well. I think with our younger generations, they're so tech savvy that these younger generations communicate so much via their phones that having those soft skills used daily within practice, at least in my experience being on the floor within clinical practice, I've noticed that throughout the years as well. So teaching those communication skills is a big part of what we do within Mentor Vet.
Yeah, I would love to do a case study and have veterinarians verbally look the client in the eye and tell them what's going on, and then also at the same time text to the client what's going on. And I would love to get the feedback from clients, because I would love to see which form of communication these early career vets were clearer with. We had a specialist in the studio that has been studying mental health issues in veterinary medicine, or just mental health issues in children, And she said that they really are not finding mental health being brought on by social media and stuff like that. But I think the wrong questions are being asked. Like what you said, that the soft skills are lost when you do not have to communicate with another human. You lose empathy, right? Which is a huge one for our profession. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I think that's a whole, as the years go by, we'll probably find out more. But yeah, the generational piece of the veterinary medicine probably will be looked at by somebody at some point. Another one, and I'm not trying to say this to be misogynist or sexist or anything, but the feminization of a profession also has changed a lot. And we're still doing things the old way, like the good old boys. We haven't really, right? We haven't changed the way we do a lot of things.
More programming for our mid-career veterinarians, because I think so many of us that have been in the profession for so long, we were thrown in a sink or swim situation most of the time. And so when when feelings of not only onboarding, but training and mentorship have changed throughout the last 20 years, I definitely say that there needs to be a change of mentality within practices as well. I think we're getting there, but I don't think we're there yet.
So in the last 3 to 4 years, what shifts, if any, have you seen at Mentor Vet? Or has it all been the same status quo with the same complaints?
Because I've only been with Mentor Vet for 2 years, I can only speak for that, unfortunately. I have not seen any shifts yet within the technology, the veterinary technician realm. We have been speaking a long time for the three things that I just previously mentioned, and I don't think that those have changed yet. As I've been speaking with the younger veterinarians within our programming, I hear their struggles trying to transition from school into the real world, and they're looking for mentorship to just help them get through those tough transitions in life. So that has been a huge topic within the veterinary field, one, trying to juggle life, maybe trying to juggle a new family, student debt, new jobs, new state, new living situation. All of these transitions within a short period of time have been a lot of what we talk about within the mentor-mentee relationships that we have.
How much has the school debt piece come into your conversations with any of these new mentees that you have coming through the program?
I think it's a conversation that we hear often. It is why we have hired or why we have a financial coach as part of our team within MentorVet, because it's talked about often enough to where we are needing someone that is readily available so we can continue those conversations with someone who is educated in the area. And we've been very lucky to find a financial coach that is also a veterinarian as well. So she understands many aspects of the financial pieces surrounding student debt and the money factor within veterinary medicine with new graduates.
Yeah, because there is no money factor ever discussed. Well, I take that back. We had a 4-hour class on a Saturday morning when I graduated, but that is huge. And Dr. Peter Weinstein was on the show, and he said, he made it very clear that every new career veterinarian needs to have some sort of financial planner to figure out student debt, rent, car payments, living, food, possibly buying a vet practice, possibly buying a house. Those are a lot of different variables you throw into an equation that if you don't really have someone behind you and guiding you basically every step of the way, talk about emotional exhaustion, lack of self-worth, and shutting yourself off. When it comes to money, I mean, that happens in any profession, in any person, period.
100%. And we can discuss soft skills all day long, but we don't have that financial backing. As far as the people that have founded MentorVet, we don't have that professional financial backing, which is why we've reached out to individuals that can bolster our employment status within MentorVet to have someone within our group that can do that.
Yeah, that's something that's definitely needed, and I'm very happy to hear that that's being offered, because it is a huge piece. It is a huge piece. Do you guys have any idea of any new challenges that might be on the horizon for any of these early career veterinarians, professionals?
That's a very good question. New challenges. Nothing is coming up on the top of my head right now. Let me think on that a little bit more and we can come back to that
question. You got it. Okay, so here's the big question. Can mentorship fix these problems? Is it truly just a Band-Aid for our issues? Or is it really going to make a difference for... Are we looking at the right things? Like, are we asking the right questions when it comes to this profession? Because I'll be blunt, because my dissertation is, I think we're attracting the wrong mental set into the profession. We are accepting on IQ, non-technical skills, and not EQ, right? The soft side.
I have had previous conversations about that as well. And I to answer your question, I wouldn't call it a Band-Aid, but I think it is one of many tools that we can use to have a better mindset overall within the profession. As far as overall mentorship, I do agree with you to a point that veterinary schools have accepted individuals based on IQ for so long that we are lacking the emotional intelligence within the profession to have really great mentorship. So I hope that we can possibly change that within the future, and not only within admissions within veterinary medicine. That's my opinion, by the way. But I also hope that the mentorship tools that we provide within MentorVet is one of many things used to create a healthier profession.
So let's talk positive. In the last 2 years, are there any good feels type stories you can give the listeners?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the most recent story that I can think of is within the mentor vet tech programming that we have. We have a mentor who worked within academia for decades, and she joined our volunteer platform as a mentor, and she was paired with a mentee who has been in the profession for quite a while, actually, but she was still looking for mentorship to find a path to take beyond clinical practice. So because we are able to provide that platform to connect mentees with mentors, those two individuals, actually we just highlighted within our Mentor Vet newsletter, those two individuals have been speaking for 6 months now. They've met and they have really created a lasting friendship that I think will continue far beyond their participation within the Mentor Vet platform. We've had mentor mentees go on vacations together. We've just noticed the human side connections within Mentor Vet that make us feel like we are making a difference. We are providing mentees with mentors that care, that want to see them succeed within the profession, and are willing to communicate often and provide that human side of mentorship that MentorVet is so dearly wanting to provide mentees and participants within our programming. So we are very lucky to be able to have constant contact with mentees and mentors, whether or not they're in our programming anymore. Because we are somewhat large, but also somewhat small enough to continue communicating with participants past the end of their programming, we're able to continue discussing the successes of our matching program to where we know that there's positivity coming from that just based on the experiences we've heard.
Yeah, a big part of mentorship is obviously that social piece, right? The parental type advice, the friend type advice, the trust, the coaching, all those different things need to be looked at. And it makes my heart happy because as a mentor, informal mentor, that was something that I was brought up when I was a technician before I went to vet school. That's how my mentor was. And then I basically tried to spread the love that way to the 20 students that went on to vet school that worked underneath me, and gosh, know how many licensed techs. So that type of result is definitely something that people, the listeners, need to hear, is that that's what you're looking for. Whether you do a formal, which would be Mentor Vet, or informal, finding a practice to work at, you need to find that type of relationship. And if you don't believe it's there, you don't believe you're getting what you need, then maybe you're not at the right place.
Speak with a conflict that they were experiencing within practice. And because I have that training underneath my belt provided by MentorVet, I'm able to work through conflict with her in a much more objective manner. Conflict is messy. Conflict is full of emotion. Conflict is very subjective. But when mentors have that training to turn a very subjective, messy situation into an objective way of looking at things, and also having a third set of eyes coming into the situation, my mentee is able to work through conflict, figure out a resolution on her own just through our conversation, and then has that willpower to approach that conflict in a different manner and be successful within environments that she feels uncomfortable in. So that is just one of many, many ways that mentors get training through MentorVet, and then again, our mentees are able to then benefit from that.
And I'm going to let the listeners know, I am a MentorVet mentor. I haven't been paired or done anything yet because I've been so busy on the other side of stuff with trying to do my education. But that's why I'm trying to reach out to all my mentees that listen, right? That's what I'm trying to do. But the one thing that blew me away and I need to get into was there was something that is required of all mentors. And that was a QPR course, the Question, Persuade, Refer course. It's not something you see in most mentorship programs. And it's basically something I've tried to avoid, at least in my dissertation, was the suicide rate. Mm-hmm. Why is this training so necessary for these mentors?
Sure, absolutely. So within MentorVet, all of our mentors get 5 hours of training to be the best mentor that they can be on the MentorVet platform. One of those 5 hours is QPR training, which is suicide awareness training. Our instructors within MentorVet are QPR instructor certified, so we have the ability to provide suicide awareness training for mentors going through our programming. And we are all very much aware of the suicide rates within veterinary medicine. It is probably one of the highest within the country. When we're speaking about specific statistics, female and male veterinarians are 2 to 3 times more likely than the general population to die by suicide. And veterinary technicians are 2 to 5 times more likely to die by suicide compared to the general population. So the statistics within our profession are staggering. We know that we need as many individuals within our profession available and trained to not only recognize symptoms or behavior of individuals that might have suicidal tendencies and be willing to intervene and help get that individual help. There are tens of thousands of individuals. If we can intervene at that point, we can provide hope, which then saves lives. So we want to make sure we have mentors available that are trained, that are capable of intervening, know what to do, know how to apply QPR, and get that individual help. We need to try and be more vigilant about suicide awareness within our profession. And so that is why we have a requirement that all of our mentors are QPR trained within our mentor-mentee platform. Symptoms, behaviors, all of that can be very obvious or not so obvious. And so I think are just wanting to make sure that we can provide as much educational resources for our mentors as possible for those not so obvious situations.
Do you have your mentees go through the same type of training so they can help their peers as well?
We do have programming within our MentorVet Tech Leap and Lift. Actually, I think all of our programming has QPR certificates. Now that I think about it, all of our programming, mentees have to go through our programming in order to get loaded up onto our mentee mentor platform. So yes, our mentees do that as well.
Yeah, spread it forward, right? I think that would be one of the ways, because I agree with you. We need to be more vigilant with what we're doing, but we don't seem to get, well, first off, I don't think the general public understands the suicide rate in our profession, right? And the second issue I have, and I want you to see what you would have to say to this. There was a big Merck study that came out, about a year ago? And it was run by a huge consulting group out of the Midwest. And I talked to the lead researcher. And he said that they disagree with the suicide rate in the profession and that it's no different than anywhere else or any other profession or across the country in general. How would you answer that? What would you say to him if he would have said that to you? Because I know what I said, and I'm just trying to be politically correct. I'm just curious what you said.
If an individual would come to me and ask that, I would use my own experience to answer that question. There are studies out there that do contradict that statement. So research can show one way or another, just depending on how you bend the numbers. So I would answer that question based on my own statistics, or not my own statistics, but my own experiences. I've been training QPR less than 2 years, and I've had to use it twice. So based on my own experiences, I know that I have had to use that. And if I am just one person having to use it more than once, I think all individuals are probably experiencing that at some point within veterinary medicine. So I would implore that my experiences being trained in QPR, seeing the suicide rates, the suicide awareness, the news coming out so often of us losing individuals by suicide within the profession, I would obviously use my own opinion and my own experiences to answer that question.
Just off the top of my head, I just thought of a question. Would you say that a lot of these veterinarians that contemplate attempt suicide, do you think they have also some own personal anxiety, depression type syndrome, stress syndrome that might be causing this? And then veterinary medicine is just the straw that breaks the camel's back? Or do you think that it's the profession by itself that's just driving this whole thing?
I would agree with your first statement. There is usually, I cannot remember the exact number off the top of my head, but there is a high percentage of individuals that also have some kind of mental issue going on that coincides with being in the veterinary profession as well. And I think, unfortunately, we have a lot of knowledge underneath our belts as veterinary professionals on how we can attempt suicide if that individual is thinking about it. We have access to lethal means within our clinical practices, and we have that knowledge of how to use those lethal means if an individual is wanting to go that route. So I completely agree that there is a mental piece as well, but being within the veterinary profession is not a great factor when it comes to the numbers.
Yeah, and I want to open the floor right now, because I want you to speak to the listeners right now. If anyone's having any thoughts at all of self-harm, what should they do?
Absolutely. If any individual is worried about another individual, or if you yourself are thinking about dying by suicide, please call the National Suicide Hotline. It's 988. There are many professionals out there, not only professionals, but loved ones as well, that want to have you in their lives. So please reach out, seek resources, find the help. I know that you may be facing what looks like a conflict that has no solution, But suicide is not the answer to that solution. So please find the help by calling 988. Please reach out to a friend or a family member. We want you in our lives, and suicide is not the answer to what looks like an unsolvable problem with that you're facing right now. So 988, they are there for you. Your friends and family want to hear from you. We want you around.
Thank you for that. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's move on from that very deep discussion that could go on for hours. There's something that isn't discussed much. Could the mentor-mentee relationship cause more harm than good?
I think any situation it can be good or bad. You can have mentees and mentors that don't click personality-wise, and unfortunately, that just leads to a failed relationship between the two of them. You might have a mentor that is not giving great advice, and is leading a mentee down a not so great path. I think there are many, many situations where it can go bad, and there are many, many situations where it can go well. And that's the great thing about mentorship. If one person doesn't match or it's just not working out well, you can professionally say, hey, I love you as a person, but I think professionally I would like to seek mentorship elsewhere. Let's keep in touch, and I'd love to tell you more about what I've learned with other mentors in the future. So I think there are many ways where it can go badly, many ways where it can go good. And it's just about professionally approaching these conversations and letting everyone know your feelings in a way that is respectful. But also showing that your needs are unmet and you would like to find a mentor that is more beneficial to the path you're wanting to take within your profession.
A lot of veterinarians are entering into the corporate path, right, instead of the private path. Do you think corporate practices are doing enough for the mentoring programs, or are they just trying to check an HR box?
Our participants within our mentor vet programming right now is from corporate entities. We've had many corporate entities reach out to us to try and get more knowledge on how to build a mentor-mentee program that will be successful. So I would say that yes, we are seeing a lot of corporate entities out there wanting to do right by their employees. And we are very thankful to see that, because we know that corporate and industry is where individuals go when they might be looking for a change or might be feeling burnt out. So yeah, I do see that actually.
Oh, that's good to hear. Because some of the stories I've been hearing is that a lot of these veterinarians that, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you'd be more in touch with it. But a lot of these veterinarians go into these large corporate practices because there's 6, 7, 8, 9 doctors that they think that they're going to have 6, 7, 8, 9 doctors that are going to want to mentor them. Is that always the case?
I would say no. Out of those 8, 9 doctors, you might not click with someone personality-wise. They might work different shifts than you. They might have, let's say you're wanting mentorship in surgery, and you've got some individuals that are 8, 9 doctor-wise that don't like surgery. So those individuals might not want to provide mentorship in certain areas. I think those 8 or 9 individuals could provide mentorship in a variety of ways. It's just figuring out what they're really good at and how that one new veterinarian can benefit from that in some way. I'm based on my own experience, in my 15 years as a technician, I've really only clicked with a few individuals. So I've been around many and have only clicked with a few that I consider a true mentor. But I know I've learned from a lot of individuals. So I think there's a way of seeing what those 8 or 9 doctors could teach you, but maybe a true mentor that will be like your ride or die, that might be one or two.
Yeah, and you know, that's another thing is just because your mentor or two mentors or whoever you're working with tell you to do something a certain way, they're not twisting your arm and making you do that. They're trying to give you advice so you can make the best educated decision moving forward. I can promise you, if you have a mentor that gives you advice and you follow none of it, that's going to destroy the relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not saying that ever happened to me, but no, just kidding. No, there, you know, it does get frustrating from the mentor side when they come to you for advice and they say, oh, I'm just not going to do that. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, that sounds too hard. Oh, I can't do it. From a mentor side, we're looking for someone who is truly seeking advice, but not just going to follow it like a puppet, but use it in their repertoire of things they're capable of doing. And especially when it comes to communication, if you think vet school did a better job of the emotional intelligence piece, of the communication piece, what do you think Mentor Vet would be focusing on instead?
I think Mentor Vet has a great opportunity if veterinary schools would be more willing to focus more on soft skills, is to collaborating with those vet schools to make sure that the education that they're providing is sufficient. A lot of veterinary schools have already approached us about helping them build mentee-mentor relationships between graduates or alumni and their student body. So I think we have a really great opportunity to provide a lot of programming for these students. And that would be, collaborating with the veterinary school faculty. And as well, like I said, as well as building mentoring programs for that student body. I think that would be a really great opportunity.
So is there anything new on the horizon, anything exciting coming up with Mentor Vet that you could share, or is it all still hush-hush stuff?
Yeah, sure. No, we can definitely, we've talked a lot. So our goal within Mentor Vet is to provide mentor programming for every individual within a veterinary practice. So right now we have programming for veterinarians, whether it be new graduates or mid-career. We have our certificate program, which is geared towards like mentoring the mentor, how to then train other mentors within practice. So those would be for leaders within practice. We have technician and assistant programming as well. And so I think our next horizon would hopefully be for practice managers. We already have that certificate program available, but to have specific education surrounding hospital management focuses, I think would be really beneficial. That's discussions that we've already had within Mentor Vet. That's something we hope to provide for the veterinary profession in the future. And then a Mentor Vet student. I think those are two areas that we can really grow upon to, again, reach more individuals within the veterinary community that we haven't specifically reached out to yet.
And for the broader veterinary community, what can we do in order to help Mentor Vet or the profession, you think, in long term?
Absolutely. So we always love reaching out to individuals that want to be a volunteer mentor. So we are accepting mentors within our veterinary platform, our matching platform, along with our veterinary technician platform. So we're always looking for those individuals that are wanting to give back to the community and spread the knowledge that they've gained to the next generation of the veterinary profession. So we're always reaching out to individuals that want to volunteer and mentor.
One of the arguments I have is, like, I think we've lost all the legacies, right? Once veterinarians retire, you don't hear from them. But when they were in their profession, they were huge, huge hitters. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to reach any of those to get them involved?
All we can do is spread the word about MentorVet. I think when individuals retire and kind of get out of the veterinary profession, they don't hear about new cool things like us at MentorVet. So in 2025, that's been a goal of ours. That's our main goal, actually, for 2025, is to spread the word about MentorVet. If we want to make an impact within veterinary medicine, we have to reach as many people as possible. So if you know about MentorVet and you know about a retired veterinarian that really made a lasting, like you said, legacy within the practice that they worked in, I implore that individual to mention MentorVet to that retired veterinarian. That's exactly why we are wanting to grow, is we want to reach out to as many people as possible within 2025. So that's spreading the word.
And how, if someone wants to get involved right now with MentorVet, how do they get a hold of you?
Our website, which is mentorvet.net. You can learn about all of our programming. You can then click a button that says, I want to be a mentor, or I want to be a mentee. And you can learn more about what that entails. And we also have a lot of scholarships available for individuals that want to go through our programming for free. We have a lot of sponsors that have been supporting MentorVet throughout the years. So not only learning about our programming, how to be a mentor, but also how to do some of our programming for free, or maybe you know of someone that could really benefit from going through some soft skills training, not only to survive in the profession, but to thrive overall.
So before we wrap up, I just have a question. If heaven forbid, MentorVet disappeared overnight, right? What do you think would happen? Are there enough people out there that actually would care enough to continue this fight? Or do you think, for the most part, most of the profession is in quote unquote burned out and they're just trying to survive?
I think MentorVet provides the platform to be a bit more organized. So if MentorVet were to go away, there would be disorganization. However, I do believe that there are individuals out there that want to make sure that our younger veterinarians and our younger technicians thrive. On our veterinary platform right now, we have hundreds of veterinarians that have volunteered to be mentors. We have more mentors right now than we have mentees to load up onto the platform. So we have a really, really great opportunity here to show that veterinarians do want to provide mentorship to the next generation. We're here to just provide more of that organizational piece. So if MentorVet were to go away, I think we have a really strong base to provide mentorship to the coming generations. It would just be a bit more disorganized. And that educational piece would be not there either. So training mentors to handle situations in a particular emotionally intelligent, safe manner, that training would be lacking. So I would say it'd be a lot more disorganized. I think individuals there and have they want to do right, but there could always be an educational piece to add to their tool belt that MentorVet provides.
So finally, before we before I wish you adieu, I want the listeners to understand, those who are involved with Mentor Vet, those of us who mentor because we're not part of Mentor Vet, but we make it part of our practice. We do it because we love this profession. This profession is amazing. Other than mentorship, if there is one thing an early career veterinarian could grasp and hold on to, what would you tell them to look for, or what would you want that to be?
The first thing that came to mind for me, if I were to approach a young graduate that is really struggling, is that it is okay to not be okay. We've all felt not okay some of these days within our early career. And having a mentor that can say, it's okay to feel not okay. It's okay to feel these feelings. I am here for you so that you don't feel so alone when you feel these feelings. I know those feelings. I support you when you feel these feelings, and I'm here for you as you move forward feeling those feelings. So it's a way of showing support for those individuals that may feel pretty darn alone some of these days. And it's okay to not feel okay. And there are mentors and support out there that know those feelings and are willing to help out.
I want to tell the listeners, once you're in it for 10, 15 years, everything comes easy. We've all had that imposter syndrome within the first year or two. We've all had that horrendous case outcome that stabs you through the heart. We've all had the financial stuff. But it's all, I don't want to say it's part of the territory. It's just part of life in general. Just make sure you just keep moving forward. Make sure you realize that you are in an amazing profession. Make sure you realize that a great majority of the public does believe in you. Now, the cost of care piece, that's in a whole other discussion for a whole other, we could go on the next one and talk about the cost of care, but I just want to make sure all the listeners understand, this profession is absolutely awesome. You made the right choice. You will get there. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes failing before you will thrive. But if you have that mentor, you have that person by your side to hold your hand, to help you up, to lift you up when you're down, it will be a lot easier for you. Yeah. So, Muriel, it was amazing talking to you. I want to have you on again.
Sure.
And tell Addie has to be on here next time for sure as well.
Yeah.
I know how busy she is.
Yes.
But anyone, if you have any questions, just go to mentorvet.net, right?
Yep. Feel free to reach out to us. Our email is on there, info@mentorvet.net. If you need to reach out to any of us individually, it's just our first name @mentorvet.net. So if you want to reach out to me, I'm the Director of Learning and Development. So I'm behind the scenes on all of our programming. And I am Marielle@mentorvet.net.
Sounds great. Thank you. Stay warm. I hope your little dachshund took a good nap. Still wrapped up in the blanket. And listeners, we'll catch you all next time. Thank you for listening.